shit. Ah, shit. It's going off now. Welcome to Highway Diaries. I'm your host, Eric Kollerbach. My handle is the Eagle. Caw-caw! Sitting co-host, my sister, Emily Hollerbach, also known as Tiger Bomb.
Wow.
Tiger Bomb, sitting in. So we've started our road trip. We're on I-40. We're in Newberry Mountain, California. Don't look it up. It's a shithole. I can see a bunch of desert, and every now and then there's a Crystal Meth trailer, and that's about all you're going to get in Newberry Mountain. We're driving. We're making our way to the Grand Canyon is our first stop, and so here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk a little bit about a shaman that Emily and I go to.
Yep.
So this shaman. Now, here's the thing. I started listening to the Joe Rogan Experience podcast. They start talking about shamans. They start talking about going to Peru to do ritualistic ayahuasca with Peruvian shamans. Ayahuasca is a kind of drug, a psychedelic drug that the Peruvian shaman people use as a rite of passage. Something like, you know, peyote for the whatever. And it's been getting a lot of buzz lately, and a lot of tourists are going down there to, you know, check it out. People like Terrence McKenna writes these wonderful things about these hallucinogenic drugs. He thinks that, you know, mankind was started because a monkey ate a mushroom and then his consciousness expanded. So anyway, we got very into it. I was talking to my sister, riding co-host, Tiger Bomb.
Wow.
And so she looked up, she did live in San Francisco as we just visited her, and she actually looked up a shaman, yeah?
Yeah, I yelped it. Shaman, San Francisco.
And a guy called Alan Walk came up.
Yep.
He's our shaman now. You know, I got a shaman, and every time I'm in San Fran, well, not every time, but a lot of times I'm in San Fran, I go see Alan, our shaman. You had a couple experiences with him. Now, recently, Emily's seen him a bunch of times. Recently, Alan helped Emily find her spirit animal. So, what, you want to take us through that?
Sure. So, this is my first vision quest that Alan walked me through. Eric actually got a vision quest, the first one. But this was my first one.
Now, vision quest, he didn't dose his drugs. This is all, we'll see. This is, yeah. We haven't done that yet.
No, not yet.
Note on the word yet. Okay, go on.
Okay, so, the first thing that Alan does is he sits you down and has a little consultation. So and he asks you, you know, why are you here? And one thing that I really wanted to work on is quitting smoking. But as we got into it, I was telling him I'm very conflicted about it because I love smoking so much that I know, logically, I should quit, but I really don't have the drive to want to quit. And so what Alan decided is that he's going to not help me quit smoking because I have to want to do it, but he's going to help me to want to do it. And so what he said is, I'm going to introduce you to your spirit guides. Right. And I was like, fuck yeah.
You're like, I hope my spirit guide isn't the camel, the smoking camel, you know?
Yeah. So what happened is you lay down on this little couch thing, and he clears your chakras, first step.
Duh.
Duh. Then he smooths out your energy. And he talks you through this vision quest. And basically what happens is he's talking to you through a relaxation part. So, you know, you're getting very relaxed, just listening to his voice. You have your eyes closed. And he sort of puts you, it's almost like hypnotism. He puts you in sort of a trance-like kind of a state. And then he says, okay, use your imagination. Imagine you're in a hallway. And at the end of the hallway is a staircase. So you walk down the hallway. He tells you, walk down the hallway. Then he says, okay, now you are at the end of the stairs is a door. And so he Doesn't say you to go up or down the stairs. You just sort of imagine it. And I imagined going up the stairs. So I went up the stairs. Before I open the door, he says, "Beyond this door is your perfect, ideal, tranquil setting." So in my imagination, mine was a forest. So I imagined this huge forest, and there was a bubbling stream going by, and the air was humid. It smelled like in a forest when it's very humid, it kind of smells like wood decaying, which I love that smell. So that was sort of the setting for it. And then I open the door, and that's where I find myself. And he says that there's a path, so follow the path. And then at, a little bit down the path, you'll meet your spirit guide. And I had no idea.
So you went upstairs through woods.
Yep.
The woods smell nice.
Yep.
Then he says, through that path. Now, what did the path look like?
Mine was a dirt path, and I was trying actually really hard to imagine a dragon, because I really wanted my spirit guide to be a dragon.
Right, who doesn't?
Right, yeah. So, but what it turned out was there was this big gray wolf, and he sort of had his head cocked to the side, and his tongue was sticking out. He was a very friendly, like, very dopey-looking spirit guide, but, I felt very comfortable.
Hey, Emily, what's going on?
Yeah, he doesn't speak, but you feel him communicate with you even without speaking, just like through his presence.
He's your fucking spirit wolf, right? So
he's
he doesn't need
wolf.
To do the chitter chatter.
Yeah.
It's like, we're past that.
Yeah.
I'm your spirit wolf. I'm deep inside you. I'm guiding you. You went up some stairs. You went through a path. It was quite a journey to get here.
It was.
Let's spare the chit-chat and psychically connect. Go on.
Yeah. So, basically, he filled me with a feeling of just overwhelming emotion, really. It was very intense, like nothing I've ever experienced before. And he basically filled me with a feeling of safety and, like, that he was really looking out for me. Like, he had my back. Like, he was there to support me, and he wanted all the best things for me. And so he let me get on him, and then Alan said, walk with him back to the door. And
so now you got him in your life. Do you feel like you have your spirit wolf in your life? You have access to him?
Yeah, I do. I feel like what I felt like coming out of it, because I generally, and this came up in the consultation with Alan, like, I really don't care what people think. Like, at all. Like, I just do my own thing all the time, just doing what I'm doing. I don't give a fuck. And, like, I guess that was, like, something that I told him, saying, like, is that a problem, or, you know, is that a good thing? I'm not really sure, because sometimes I offend people and I don't mean to, and I'm totally unaware of what's going on over with them.
And sometimes I think it can come off as selfish, like, well, I'm just going to do my own thing.
Right.
I'm not really looking out for you or what you're doing.
Right, yeah. So, and he basically said, that's actually a really good thing, but I'm going to help you to just, you should have that, but also just be more aware of, like, yourself and your effect on other people, I guess, to have more empathy for what my actions cause other people to feel. So, I think about that now, and I came out of that session really feeling like, for the first time ever, that I actually wanted to impress someone. Like, I want to impress my spirit wolf. I want to be like, yeah, spirit wolf, check out what I'm doing.
Look, your spirit wolf is there. Right?
Yeah.
He's not going anywhere. He's your spirit wolf. But you want your spirit wolf to be proud of you.
Yeah.
And I think when you connect with him, you understand more what he wants and how you can worship him and make him happy.
I don't think he wants me to worship him.
No?
He just wants me to hang with him and he just wants to be there for me.
Well, you know what? That is beautiful. What a lovely applause.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Emily was very nice. She got a thing of sound drops. So
Antonia got that.
Antonia, our friend.
Shark.
That's her handle.
That's Antonia.
If we ever have someone on the podcast, we start going shark. That's Antonia. I am the eagle. Caw-caw!
And I am Tiger Bomb.
Well, that's established. I saw Alan twice, and Alan's great. He's this little British guy. Well, he's not little. He might be taller than me, actually. But he's very soft-spoken and, all right, hello, how's it going? And he was like a furniture maker, right, in England. And then all of a sudden he just, I read up on it, and then he just traveled to Peru and went, got deep in it, man. He studied serious.
I didn't know he was a furniture maker.
Yeah, that's what he told me.
Oh, cool.
I don't know what, I don't know. Yeah, he's knocking furniture to go, I'm a cobbler, yes I am, I'm a British guy, I'm Alan.
A cobbler works on shoes.
Whatever.
Did he make clogs?
Yep.
Wooden clogs.
Uh-huh. That's wood. He was okay. All right.
Let's hear about your experience.
Okay.
I want to hear about your vision quest.
Well, the first time I went to go see him, he was like, all right, come in, right? I got this water. Well, he did a consultation with me. At first, I didn't really know what I was going in for. I was like, you know, I heard shamans were cool. What do you do? Do your shaman thing. And he's like, it doesn't really work like that. You have to tell me what your problems are, and then I'll help you with them. So as a comedian, you know, aspiring to being a comedian, obviously, you know, I have a fear of failure. You know, it's something that for my lifetime, the only wish I want for myself is to, like, make a living doing comedy, right? So I have a tremendous fear of failure around that. I want to, like, make this one life count and do everything I want to do. So, anyways, you know, anyway, so I had a long talk with him, and then basically he's like, I got this water, right? Stand here. And then he's like, it's really magical. It's from, like, Florida. And I was like, Florida? You know, this doesn't sound very spiritual. I went to Florida a lot.
Special water?
He said it was some kind of special water.
Really?
Yeah.
I never got special water.
Well, you know, he likes me. But he had it in some kind of, like, plastic water bottle container and stuff. And but anyway, he just, like, put it in his mouth, and then he just went, and then he, like, raspberried it up. Like, all over my back, and then he was like, all right, now turn around, all right? And then he, like, spat it up my front. But I did feel kind of like a spiritual push through my body when he did that.
Well, he says that that's to cleanse out any hesitations that you have regarding what he's about to take.
Yeah, it does put you in a state of mind of, all right, I guess for the next hour and a half.
I mean, after that.
If you let a guy spit water on you, though he's like, I've got to make sure you're into this, all right? I want no distractions. I'm going to pee on your face now. We've got special water from my balls.
For the record, he doesn't really pee on your
face. He doesn't pee on your face. Alan Waugh, look him up. Spirit Wisdom Healing. He's a great guy.
He's amazing.
If you're in San Francisco, definitely check him out. He does not pee on you. Maybe if you ask. I didn't ask him. Ask him if he'll pee on you. So then he, you know, he had me lay on the thing. And then, like Emily was saying, he gives you through a guided meditation. And I felt when I first went into... I went into this weird room, and there was this clamshell which had a light coming out from it.
Did you go down the stairs or up the stairs?
His meditation was like you're splitting. You see, like, the muscles in your vein, in your body, and how you can, like, dissect and go, and then, like, you know, go further into your own body, further into your. It was just. I don't really remember it because I was fucking loopy during it because the words were, like, making me conk out into some weird dimension. Some Peruvian shamanistic dimension. The eagle. Caw-caw! Tiger ball. So I went in there. I saw this clamshell. It was like the light of my true potential, and I was trying to get at it. So I hit it with a baseball bat. I imagined a crowbar. I tried to pry it open that way. It didn't work. Nothing worked. So I went into this other dimension, and I saw this, like, crazy looking demon that looked like the Predator from the movie Predator, and he had long dreadlocks, and the long dreadlocks were, like, interwoven into my musculature, which it probably, I was thinking about that maybe because of the guided meditation he did. And then I looked at him, and then the Predator was like, bah! And he looked at me, and, like, his tentacles, like, went back up into his dreadlocks, and then he, like, couldn't believe that I was looking at him. And I remember Alan's voice was coming at, like, can I talk to the monster? And I was like, all right. And then it's like, what are you doing for Eric? And then I heard it say, "I'm his armor." And it's like, why does Eric need armor? Because everyone has armor. Well, your services are no longer required. The contract has ended. And then I went into this weird ceremony with this gazebo that was like beautifully, there was flowers blooming on it and stuff. And we had like this divorce ceremony where then I saw this fear of failure go away. And since then, I do feel like I have less of a fear of failure, because I feel like, you know, I really learned from that experience that the only thing I have to fear is to not commit. The only thing I have to fear is to get lazy. But if I'm motivated every day, which I always am, then as long as I'm doing something towards my goal, I don't have to stress about it or be depressed about it. It's just use that depression to, you know, fuel, just to go, well, why am I sitting around sad when I could just do something towards my goal?
So it helped you.
It really did. I feel like there's no fear of failure. And also next year, I want to, 2013, I want to really start stand-up comedy and stuff. And so, like, I always have these things plotted out. I've been doing improv for 9 years, almost 10 years, like once a week or twice a week, literally. And I just want to try stand-up now.
You know what Alan told me is that these vision quest things are actually sort of like a mini ayahuasca trip. That's what they say about ayahuasca, is when you try it, it's really a self-improvement drug.
And they say it's brutally, on Duncan Trussell podcast, Duncan Trussell Family Hour, shout out to him, he had Graham Hancock on, and Graham Hancock is a writer, he's done many ayahuasca trips, over 40 ayahuasca trips, and he was saying that it's brutally introspective, ayahuasca. When you're going through a trip, you're seeing how if you're mean to people, if you're short with people, if you're an asshole to people around you, when you're doing ayahuasca, you feel all their pain from their perspective. Mm-hmm. You see all these faces of people that you've wronged and the shit you've said to them and how deeply it affected them and how they feel depressed about it. And you know what I mean? And it beats yourself down to being a better person by showing you. Just like, I think A Christmas Carol, you know, Ebenezer Scrooge goes around with like Christmas, Father Christmas Future and some other pedophile. And anyway, they go around and they're looking at, all the people that Ebenezer Scrooge has fucked over, because he's like, I want some money, bitch. Boom. And then he kicks a poor person in the face. And he's like, you should die because of surplus population. Punch. And they like just punch someone in the dick, you know. So
this is Ebenezer?
Yeah, have you ever seen A Christmas Carol?
No, I guess not.
When they take him in the past, they see how he was a bad guy to people.
I don't remember any dick punches.
Or, well, he also, like, there was money in the vending machine, and two snacks came out, and he went, yeah, and he didn't give the other snack back to the manager of the place.
Yeah.
He actually stole another snack. You know, a lot of people do that. When two snacks come out, you're supposed to go to the manager of the vending machine. Or just put it up top.
You know what happened recently?
What happened?
Chantal, my college roommate Chantal, was visiting me in San Francisco, and she went to the ATM, and an extra $200 came out.
Whoa!
And we were already pretty drunk, and we were like, woohoo, free money, free drinks. Then, so we did that, we used it, we didn't give it back. It was probably from the person before her, maybe her money didn't come out. Then my purse got stolen that night. It was instant karma.
Did you have $200 in your purse?
I didn't have... No, but I had... my camera got stolen, which was worth more than that, actually.
Unbelievable.
My gold earrings and my money.
Better call the police. Thank you to the sound drop device. The cops came. They arrested you. They said, you're filling out a police report for your purse being stolen.
You're being arrested. The universe already punished me.
All right.
For my wrong.
So right now it's November 2012. We're rapidly approaching the Mayan apocalypse. And, you know, speaking of... First, before I talk about 2012, I want to say the second time I went to see Alan.
Yeah.
The second time I went to see Alan, he basically... I have a problem with manipulating other people. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
I'm a very...
I think you mean controlled, telling people what to do.
Like how you're doing constantly. This podcast right now?
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, there's no way I'm going to do a road trip unless we do a podcast.
Yep. Well, really it begins as soon as, even, I was going to say when you open your eyes in the morning, but really even before you open your eyes in the morning, Eric starts barking orders at you. Take your shower, then we'll have breakfast, then we'll do this.
So that's
what we're talking about.
All right, well, you said, I'll get up at 9 a.m. 9 a.m. rolls around, I very nicely come into your room, and I say, Emily, it's 9 a.m., it's time to get up.
Very nicely, you started throwing high C packets at me.
Emergency packets, yeah, because I was worried that you had a cold because you were sniffling, so I started throwing those to wake you up, one. Two, yeah. To say, here's a bunch of free emergency packets.
Oh, I didn't realize that it was actually a benevolent act, throwing things at me.
All right, well, I got up at 8:15, and I had made breakfast, and I had taken my shower, and I was bored. And I wanted you to get up. So we got on the road at 11 a.m. today. Okay. We were supposed to get on the road at 8 p.m. last night, so I'm already off schedule.
No, we weren't. Anyway.
I don't manipulate people anymore because I went to go see Alan. The second time I went to see Alan, he hypnotized me.
Yeah.
Didn't spit any water at me the second time.
Yeah.
I guess he ran out of Florida.
Did a vision quest again?
Well, he just kind of did more of a prayer. We talked a long time, and then, but the only thing, he recorded it. Maybe I'll play a little section of it right here and listen in.
And you realize that as you are more relaxed, you're great, capable of greater and greater concentration. You're capable of manipulating, not out of spite, you're able to manipulate the love you have in your heart so that you can be open and warm and kind, and you're motivated from love, that the manipulation is not something that comes from spite, something that comes from love, that the manipulation turns into motivation and inspiration.
And we're back, and also Emily had a recorded session with Alan, and let's listen to that.
Know that this presence is a part of yourself that has only your highest good as its sole intent. And you may perceive this presence as a light or a sound, or as an animal or a teacher in human or plant form, or an angel or mythic being, or anything that has special significance to you. Emily, can you tell me what you're experiencing?
I see a grey wolf.
Yeah? Where's the grey wolf?
In the forest.
Yeah?
Setting. The stream.
And we're back.
You're listening to Highway Diary with the Eagle. Caw-caw!
And Tiger Bomb. Wow.
Alright, so the second time, the biggest thing I remember about that, and I just played it, is don't try to manipulate other people. The only thing you have to manipulate is the love you have, right? And so, yeah, I am in my defense, and I'm making Emily do this podcast, but the thing is, I want to just manipulate all this. I got love coming off me, Emily.
Okay.
And I got man gravy coming off me, which chicks dig. They
really?
I walk in a room, the girls go, what's that? It's man gravy. What? And then they're on me.
What's man gravy?
It's my scent, it's my odor, my pheromones, my affect, my vibe, my mojo, my good looks. You know what I mean? It's all together. And I'm just scooping man gravy out the window.
That sounds gross.
It's falling on girls' faces. They're covered in it. And then, you know, they're like, whoa, I just got marked by scent, right?
Uh-huh.
I was marked. Who marked me?
Yeah.
And then they go sniffing around, and then I'm pungent with man gravy, and then they go, oh, it must be that guy. That guy's pungent with the scent that's all over me right now.
Interesting.
So,
are we just getting a little sneak peek into your dating life?
Pretty much. More for that later. Oh, remember that girl in that we were talking about? We would meet up in San Francisco when we visited you.
Yep.
She wasn't there.
No, she didn't show.
Some girl, you know, city girls, rural country girls can handle man gravy.
Okay.
City girls.
That's the difference.
Sometimes the patois is a little too pungent. It's an acquired taste, man gravy. The other thing I have dripping off me is love. And I'm trying to just manipulate the love I have into a podcast. Boom. All full right. Circle.
So we're seeing progress.
The eagle. Ca-ca! Sorry. Some of these sound drops are annoying. I'm going to try to figure it out which ones are the good ones. And I have zero comedic timing with it. Okay. So, yeah. So that was Alan's great spiritual wisdom healing.com. Alan Wall, San Francisco. Leave him a good Yelp review.
Yeah.
We're getting dangerously close, Emily, to the end of the world.
We are.
2012.
Right.
Now, I live in Los Angeles right now. You're moving into New York City, but you're like, hey, look, Eric, it's 2012 is coming up. There might be an earthquake. There might be aliens coming down. You don't want to be in Los Angeles where there's
just
no
any,
natural water.
Any big city, really. You what? Don't want to be in any big city.
Uh-huh. Go on.
Because we don't know what's going to happen, and whatever's going to go down is probably going to go down in the most heavily populated areas.
So, Emily has a shotgun as well. She also has
I do.
So you're ready. And also, Emily has bullets, slugs for her shotgun that are specific for zombie repellent.
They are.
They're giant slugs. Now, you have them. You were reading to me the other day. What are in these zombie pellets? What are they good for?
Well, it gives you some helpful zombie tips. Basically, how to identify a zombie, for example. They have brain splatter all over their faces as they have just consumed some brains. They don't lift their feet up off the ground, which I thought was a really good insight.
Yeah.
So if you see anyone dragging their feet...
in a nursing home, shoot them with a slug. Out of your shotgun. They are definitely a zombie if they're shuffling their feet.
They could be a zombie. It's just one indicator.
Oh, then you also look. Are they covered in brains?
Sure. Yeah.
If they're covered in brains, it's shuffling.
Yeah.
Zombie for sure.
Yeah. You gotta shoot their brains before they eat yours.
So, 2012 is coming up. You know, people who are into shamanism sometimes are also into 2012. But one guy, there's this conspiracy researcher on the internet called David Wilcock. And David Wilcock on DivineCosmos.com, he wrote this incredible articles about the Illuminati, about there's one ebook on there called Financial Tyranny. It really breaks down the Ponzi scheme of the American oligarchs, how the Federal Reserve, all that great stuff, and it breaks down how now our debt in China and Asia and how that's affecting us, the warmongering, and it breaks a lot of shit down. Check it out. So I really like David Wilcock, but about 2012, he also writes some blogs that are just about his dreams, okay? So some of the articles are super well-researched. But he's also, you know, he thinks he's psychic, this and that. I'm not sure how much I believe in that, but whatever. But anyway, he's made a prediction that December 21st, 2012, mankind is going to go through a giant evolution to the point of we're all going to get psychic powers. So, for example, maybe your spirit wolf will be a real thing that you could fire at people, like, and it'll bite their dicks off or something.
My spirit wolf is a lover, not a fighter.
Okay, well, maybe he'll suck their dicks off.
Not that kind of love.
Whatever. I don't know what your superpower is going to be, but he explained it like the X-Men, where depending on your personality, depending on your genome, depending on what the aliens that spliced your DNA and put you in your culture and whatever. I don't know. I don't know what determines a set of factors, but I just love that people, like, you know, making a prediction that strong. Like, on December 1st, 2012, sports are going to go out the window. How can you play football when half the team is flying around? You know what I mean? This is the level of prediction he's making.
What do you think that your superpower will be?
Teleportation, for sure.
Nice.
Or invisibility. Mm. But I like teleportation. I like it. If all of a sudden I was invisible, I think I would be an assassin. I think I would just start, like, sneaking into Area 51. I would be sneaking into government facilities that are off-limits, right? But, you know, also, he's also... David Wilcock is also making the prediction. Not only... we'll all get magic powers, obviously, that day. But also, the aliens will come down and start solving a lot of our problems, you know? They've been watching us from afar, and they're worried for us, and they're coming down, and... and one day, they're going to clean up the radiation in Japan from Fukushima. Day one. Day two, everyone gets their dick sucked. Or fanny twatted. The aliens are going to come down, clean up radiation, give you bee jimmers. Everyone's cool. And now it's like, all right, now let's fix your problems. I'm going to give you some free energy devices. I'm going to get rid of this oil monopoly. A lot of stuff is going to go down.
But how do you know that you can trust them?
The aliens?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't trust someone who just was giving me a gift for no reason.
What if the aliens came down and then they were like, look, we made humans, right? Yeah. We took monkeys or some kind of earlier hominid and we made humans out of you. And then they just kind of watch us toil with each other. They're watching from afar. They're letting it happen. They gave us free will. And now they're coming back.
Why?
In some kind of Mayan calendar thing.
Maybe they're coming back for more experimentation. Like, they're giving us these superpowers and then they'll leave again to see what happens.
You don't trust them. You think they're going to probe everybody.
Well, I'm just saying, I want to know what their motivation is. They've got to have some quid pro quo going on.
Do you think that your spirit wolf, you know, could, if you access your spirit wolf and say, spirit wolf, are these aliens good or bad? Right?
Yeah, actually, I think that he would tell me. I think he knows, probably.
You think he knows now and he's worried?
He didn't seem worried last time we met up, but I'll ask him about it next time.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Highway Diary with the Eagle, Kakaw, and Tiger Ball.
Wow.
You've heard it. Later on tonight, Emily's going to go to sleep, maybe in 3 podcasts from now.
Uh-huh.
She's going to wake up. I'll help you do a guided meditation. Maybe we'll record some of it.
Okay.
And we'll see if your spirit wolf...
yeah.
...is predicting that. When the aliens come, because we know they're coming.
Yeah.
They're coming down on their spaceship. Their spaceships are going to sound like this. And they're going to be coming down.
Yeah.
Are they going to be good or bad?
I don't know. But I'm just saying, I don't know if they're good or bad. I'm not going to immediately assume that they are good. Or bad, really. I'm going to feel it out. But you never get something for nothing, that's all I'm saying.
You're saying, if they clean up, look, we're aliens, we've cleaned up the radiation, we've given you some free energy, we've given you, everybody has food in their bellies right now. Everyone, okay, we fixed your hospitals, we took out all those... chemotherapy machines, and we put in actual real things where when you have cancer, we don't blast radiation in your face. You know what? I want something from you, though.
Yeah. I think that maybe, you know, they want gold or something, because in the first civilizations, they actually, the first written history of humankind that we know of, that we've found so far, they did write a history. They said that our star...
Are you talking
brothers,
about ancient Sumer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Our star brothers came down, they created us, in order to mine gold from the earth.
Right.
Because they need it for their atmosphere. So maybe that's what they want, to, you know, they want to get some more gold. And that's fine, I just want to know that up front.
Okay, I'm going to be mining gold for the rest of my life. Cool.
Right. Yeah, just tell me
that's
beforehand.
That's the plan?
If I am accepting a gift, and then the expectation is that I mine gold for the rest of my life... I just want to know that before so I can make a decision, do I want to accept this gift or not?
Well, you can accept the gift and then just have your spirit wolf do it. Your spirit wolf is going to be looking at you like, God damn it! Can you get some of this fucking gold? I'm exhausted.
Yeah. Maybe I'll hook up a sleigh to him.
Mush, spirit wolf.
Yeah,
oh.
Mush.
Oh. What a sad spirit wolf. Well, listen, Highway Diary, we've been recording for about a half hour. It's time for some news. Here we go. This is coming from NBC. Man cooking squirrel for lunch sparks fire that destroys 8 apartments. A fire that destroyed 8 units at an apartment complex in Holland Township, Michigan, is believed to have been sparked by a man using a propane torch to cook a squirrel for lunch, the fire chief said. The resident was on deck, third floor, Clearview Apartments. He was using the torch to burn off the squirrel's fur when the deck caught fire. Uh-oh. The resident, whose name was not released, was removing the animal's fur in preparation to eat it. Flames spread to the roof and other parts of the building. 8 apartments were destroyed, and 24 other units were damaged by smoke and water, says the fire chief. That's about as off the wall as it gets, Plainfield Township Fire Chief Dave Peterson told MLive.com. So what do you think?
I think that guy just sounds lazy. And also,
how do you get the squirrel?
For one thing, aren't you supposed to skin the squirrel and not singe its fur off? Secondly, how...
More than one way to skin a squirrel.
Not in my book.
Okay.
Secondly, that would smell terrible.
Right.
Burnt fur, and then you're going to
eat after that? He was doing it out of the balcony. He was aware of the fumes.
That would not make me hungry. Just saying. If I'm going to eat squirrel, I'm going to skin it properly.
Right.
I'm going to, you know, chop it up, put it in a stew or something.
Uh-huh.
Burnt fur. Ugh.
Squirrel brain stew. This is what I'm thinking. In Michigan, it's near Detroit. The economy is not good. He's trying to make do. He's going, look, how much does a squirrel weigh? 1.5 pounds? How much does 1.5 pounds of meat cost at Ralph's or ShopRite, you know, A&P?
Yeah, I have no idea. I don't eat meat.
Well, it costs more than one BB that I'm going to shoot in this squirrel's neck and fire it up.
Sure.
The point is, people...
Economical.
If you're going to be torching a squirrel's fur off on your wooden balcony, put down some tinfoil. Make sure something is fire retardant.
Yeah.
We've solved this. Woman rides wild manatee in Florida, turns herself in. This is also by NBC News staff. A woman who police said was seen touching and riding a manatee in Fort DeSoto Park in Pinetta, Florida, over the weekend, turned herself in to Pinellas County Sheriff's Office. Anna Gloria Garcia Gutierrez, 52, told police Tuesday that she wasn't aware what she did was against the law. Witnesses gave authorities her description and photos of her riding the sea cow, which is a second-degree misdemeanor. She was riding the manatee at 1 p.m. I guess they're endangered. You can't really fuck with a manatee and ride it.
What a ride an endangered
There's
animal.
A photo right there, Em. You see her?
That's badass.
Sunday in the water, blah, blah, blah. She was not arrested or charged, but the charges were referred to the state's attorney's office. She's like, no one wants to deal with this lady. She's like, comes in the police department, I rode a manatee! Here's photographs! Here's me holding a newspaper while riding a manatee! I'm guilty!
Oh,
and then they were like, just go to the attorney's office. I don't know. Get out of here. The Florida Manatee Sanctuary Act says it is unlawful for any person at any time, by any means, or in any manner, intentionally or neglectingly, to annoy, molest. Uh-oh. More to the story.
Did she molest the manatee?
Harass or disturb or attempt to molest. To molest or harass or disturb any manatee. Seems like that they just... Legalese is weird. I'm going to read that sentence again. To annoy, molest, harass, disturb, or attempt to molest. Oh, I see. Or attempt to. Authority, you can unsuccessfully molest a manatee.
Still against the law.
And it's still, you're fucking charged, man.
Double fail.
They thought of that in the Florida Manatee Sanctuary when they were writing up their bylaws.
They did.
She comes in with photographs. I attempted to molest it. Here's photographs of me attempting. Oh. But there was a fence, so I couldn't reach it.
What I want to know is...
I'm in jail now.
Was it consensual? Did the manatee approach her, or did she approach the manatee?
By the photograph, all we see is a lady in the middle of water, and, like, her body is above the water. Presumably, she's not on a float under the water.
Yeah. It seems completely consensual. The manatee could easily sink down to the bottom and, you know, get her
And
off.
Drown her.
Yeah, drown her. Or just, you know, she'd stay floating at the top. He would sink down. Game over. This manatee seems to be enjoying himself.
Authorities say the penalty for the woman could be up to 60 days in jail and possible fine of $500. Authorities don't believe any manatees were injured. It's a wild animal. It's not something to be ridden, says Susan Butler, a manatee expert in the U.S. Geological Survey in Gainesville. I can't say as a biologist I would ever condone that or that the manatee wanted them to do that. So she's saying as a biologist,
right.
How can you really get consent?
Susan Killjoy Butler. I would gladly pay $500 to ride a wild manatee.
60 days in jail?
I would consider it, yes.
Would you turn yourself in?
I would go there bragging. I would request a trophy for one.
Yeah?
Yeah. Second, yeah. Okay. I would tell everyone in my jail that I rode a fucking manatee. And it was badass and totally worth it.
Yeah. If you have a photograph of you riding a manatee, don't send it to the police. What you should do is take it to Staples, make a poster of it, give yourself a placard, and fucking go, I fucking molested a manatee.
I attempted to and was successful.
Great. Next story. Anything so far, Em? How we doing? Good?
Good.
Oh, you didn't understand. Oh, I'm sorry. Tiger Bomb, how we doing?
Oh.
You having a good time?
Yeah. Wow.
The eagle. Caw-caw! How we watch what we watch. The future of TV. This is more of an editorial, maybe.
Okay, I already know what's going to happen with this one. I already know how we're going to watch television.
Go on.
Future. Because
now podcasting is a new medium, you know, the internet's taken over. What are the new mediums? Go on, Em.
You will be able to change channels with your mind.
What?
I just bought an app. It's not coming out till June 2013, but it's a game for your iPad. I don't even have an iPad, but I pre-bought this app.
They know that they're going to need the psychic technology from 2012. So yeah, then they're like, exactly. We need a month to put this into an app.
6 months, yeah.
Go on. July?
June.
Oh, June 2015. Okay.
Yeah. So it's a game. The game already exists. It's called Zen Bound or something like that. And basically it's a block of wood. It's a virtual block of wood. And currently you move your iPad around and you wrap a rope around this block of wood. In June of 2013, you'll be able to play this game with your mind.
How does that work? Do you hook up an electrode to your head or something?
You wear a headband.
Whoa.
The headband has electrodes on it. Somehow this headband reads your thoughts, reads your mind, reads your intentions, and you wrap a rope around a block of wood.
That's beautiful.
It's amazing.
Can you imagine now, like, imagine how video games are going to change when you can put a bunch of electrodes on your thing.
Yeah. Well, that is a video game.
Get stoned, have some cereal,
yes.
And now all of a sudden, but when it gets more advanced, you could become Tomb Raider, you know?
You could be Tomb Raider.
I want to have huge gazongas and shoot zombies in the face with a
June 2013, you'll be able to make your dream come true.
Well, that's only making a little piece of string go around the brick, right?
True. Yeah, maybe June 2014.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
I could be Tomb Raider. Well, this has been another edition of Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Kollerbach, the Eagle, caw-caw!
And Tiger Bum, wow.
Thanks for listening. See you next time. What's up? It's Eric Kollerbach. I'm reminding you to check out my other podcast, Fudge House Rules. We did 3 new episodes. We're going to re-RSS on iTunes, all the old ones again. It's been 6 years in the making. Fudge House Rules is back. Also look forward to the Damien Shadows web series. It's probably going to be out around February 2013. Also check out my Facebook, get on my Twitter handle. They're both Eric Kollerbach. Get on my news feed. I got the shit wired. A stand-up show at Flappers. I got booked. It's a club in Burbank. It's on Tuesday, January 29th at 7:30 p.m. So, you know, Google fucking Flappers in Burbank. You know how to get there. Oh, it's in the Yoohoo room. Say you're there for me. That's why you gotta tell those motherfuckers.